All right, welcome to the first of its kind, world-changing manufacturers network. Lisa Ryan has her ears to the ground and her heart in the game. Get ongoing education and new connections right here with Lisa and the manufacturers network. Buckle your seat, listen, and spread the word. Here's Lisa.
Hey, it's Lisa Ryan. Welcome to the Manufacturers Network podcast. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Anne Franz. Anne is the executive director of the New Manufacturing Alliance in Northeast Wisconsin, where she has been spearheading initiatives to promote and elevate the manufacturing sector since 2006. So, Anne, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
So share with us a little bit about your background and what led you to doing what you do with New Manufacturing Alliance.
It's so funny. My first job ever was working as a receptionist in high school at a manufacturing company. And then really, I haven't worked for any other manufacturers until I started this role. In 2000, that job, I had no idea what manufacturing was all about and learned a little bit about that. But then my journey really had me doing lots of different things, everything from event management to working for chambers. And in the day, I even sold encyclopedias door to door. Good thing I didn't stay in that profession. And so I was hired by a technical college in Green Bay to fulfill a grant to talk to business owners about their future workforce needs. The grant was from a workforce investment board who was able to give a lot of money to have people go back to school and get their college degree. And they're like, we're investing all this money in these different degree programs, but we really don't know if there's a job on the other side. And we really need somebody talking to these CEOs about their current and future workforce needs. So I was hired in November 2005. And needless to say, not many CEOs wanted to talk with me, but one did. And that's why I have this job today, 18 years later. In January 2006, I was talking to a business owner who made printing machines. And he said, Anne, I have lots of great jobs, but nobody wants them. And is there anyone trying to change the image of manufacturing? So we brought some people together and the college president said, you know what, Paul, your image is ugly. I have lots of capacity to have lots of students in these programs, but you manufacturers need to change your image. And he said, you know what? You're right. I've been pointing my finger at everybody except to myself. And manufacturers are really good problem solvers. And we have a problem. And he said, you know what? I will bring some manufacturers together. And because I was pretty new on the job, the executive director of the Workforce Investment Board that was paying for me said, hey, Anne can help you. So long story short, in June of 2006, we started the Northeast Wisconsin Manufacturing Alliance, or abbreviation, New Manufacturing Alliance. And now, 18 years later, we have about 380 members, over 240 being manufacturers in Northeast Wisconsin. Our footprint is really the 18 counties of Northeast Wisconsin.
Wow, that's so interesting. It reminds me when I was in the welding industry, and this was the late 90s and early 2000s, and you were absolutely right. Manufacturing was everything your mother ever warned you about. It's dark, dirty, dangerous. It was just, now I walk into these plants and they're clean, they're bright, they're automated in a lot of cases. There's some industries, obviously, you can't have as clean and bright as others, but it's so cool to hear that they listened to you back in those days and realized that, yeah, if we want to attract new people into this industry, we're the ones that have to change because they're not going to.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And really that ownership. They're so excited about their companies. And so they need to share that message. And really, it has made a huge difference in our region.
And I think that's one of the things, because you have generations that have never been exposed to manufacturing because their parents always wanted them to have a better chance than they did. And manufacturing was taken off the table at a very early age. Unless we work with younger students, working with schools and technical schools to introduce and to show what manufacturing is and the passion behind it, that people are so proud of what they do and what they build, that it's in changing the conversation.
Early on, I would go out and say, hey, you should be a welder. If it's such a great job, why aren't I a welder? So what really started our journey was having real people talk about their jobs. And so we developed a program called the All Stars, and we're here in our 16th year of this program, where our companies nominate their employees that are age 18 to 36, and then we spotlight them in a careers magazine, and the electronic version has 3-minute videos of them talking about their career and why they love what they do. And that really started us to be able to really spotlight these amazing people that work in the profession. We do awards dinner where they're recognized. And a few of our covers are female welders. And I'm sure when that young woman said to her mom, hey, mom, I want to be a welder and I'm going to be on a cover of a magazine, she probably didn't think that was going to happen. But now we have over 150 career videos of real people generally telling their story and why they love working in the field.
And I think that's so important too, because when people are looking to join a company, they're going to go to the website or they're going to look and, is there somebody that looks like me there? Or do I go to the website and I see a bunch of stock photos of your traditional mix of people in them? And it's, you know, that it's not real, where here you're hearing real stories from real people that cross every gender, class that you have, color, sure, personality, all of that you have.
And I think for those videos that we do not script it, we just ask questions. And because of that, people know it's not just a scripted little marketing boy, it's real people sharing their heart.
So what have you seen, or what do you consider some of the most significant impacts for your local industry in the 18 years you've been behind this?
Really, our area has created a relationship with our educational system, both K-12 and higher education. 18 years ago, I did try calling the school saying, hey, do you want some manufacturers to come in and talk to your students? And they're like, hey, goodbye. And unfortunately, there was this disconnect. We all care about the kids. We really needed to have opportunities to come together and talk and hear from each other. And about 15 years ago, we paid for the sub costs for about 100 math teachers to come to a conference where we did a roundtable, just what do you need from us? We opened it up. You had us at hello. We shouldn't have been more engaged with you, and we're here now. How can we help? And from that conversation, a math teacher said, I'm so sick and tired of kids raising their hand in my class saying, when am I ever going to use this in the real world? And she said, is there any way you can show relevancy in what I'm teaching? And we, in turn, said we like supporting the tech ed classes and the teachers, but those are the kids that are already singing from the same hymnal. We want to try to connect with kids that have never considered manufacturing. And every kid has to take math. And unfortunately, I was one of those kids and I was not a big fan of math. But every kid has to. So we created a program with math teachers called Get Real Math that show how math is used in the real world. It's not teaching them how to add and subtract fractions, but once they learn that skill, the capstone is watching a real life problem at a manufacturing company. We work with math teachers to write the lesson plan. And with what we found is kids are like, wow, I really am going to use this, as well as our math program is from fourth grade to high school. So this way we have students throughout their education having this exposure to what manufacturing is all about. And we really have found that more and more kids are getting excited about manufacturing in those tech ed programs because they're getting exposure to them. Because how do you know what you don't know, right? So that was one huge accomplishment, that we really have been able to meet a need of our educational system and meet our needs too. It truly is a win. Another thing that we did early on, in fact, we're going to be on year 13, is creating a program called the Excellence in Manufacturing K-12 Partnership Awards. That program is where we recognize all the great things that are going on, because there are. And we want to let others know, hey, this is how you can replicate these great practices. And so over the years, I made sure that I sat everyone. It was like a wedding, but I didn't get any gifts. So everybody, I would have tables of eight, and I would assign manufacturers and educators to sit at the same table. Because usually we gravitate to who we know. And the goal of this event is really to get people connected. And so over the years, we have the Youth Apprenticeship Best of Class Manufacturer, brighter image that a school is really changing that image of manufacturing. For the education winners, we give $500 to their schools. And we really have, over the years, where people love coming to this event. We have hundreds of people that come in celebration. And this year, we've added a category for best youth apprentice students. So we'll be giving $1,000 college scholarships to two youth apprentices. This event also serves as a big fundraiser for our organization. And over the years, we have given over $500,000 in college scholarships.
Wow.
So those are two areas of education, how we're working together. We do the plan tours and career expos and things like that. But those other two areas really made a huge difference. Another thing that we found in higher education is, my goodness, in our region, 23% of all the jobs are in manufacturing. But the two four-year colleges in our region did not have any engineering bachelor science degrees. Yikes. Hmm. So we had all this, hey, become an engineer because we need those. But they had to go outside of our region to get their degree. So about 10 years ago, we worked with the two universities in our region and made the business case showing that engineering technology bachelor of science degrees were needed, and went to the board of regents and made that business case. And now we have hundreds of college students in engineering at the two four-year colleges. So coming together and talking and becoming a partner in these types of areas is just critical.
And there's so many things that you touched on that I'm sure that people are listening to this episode are getting their minds blown right now. But the first thing being that it's a process. It's sitting down with the math teachers, listening to their issues, and then translating that. But you also mentioned fourth grade. That's something that when we look at the younger kids and getting them interested in things, because if we're waiting till they're in high school or community college, it's probably too late because they've already decided what they want to do and what they want to be. So all of these things, and I talk about this in my programs too, of partnering with your community colleges, because you can basically, you know, special order exactly what you want out of the students and the programs. And again, you did a miraculous job on that with the getting those couple of colleges to put engineering programs in there. And the question still remains about the parents. So how are you getting the parents to buy in that maybe a traditional four-year college route is not the best for their child, and being a female welder is?
Parents are the hardest nut to crack. We definitely don't have the 100% solution. But what we've found is, one, we need to create messaging that parents are looking at. We do have a lot of social media on Facebook. We know the Facebook is not connecting with the student, but with the parents. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to created different messaging in our media, from TV to newspapers. And so that is how we're trying to address the parent issue. The All-Star magazine, we print 25,000 copies. We know that students are going to be more apt to look at the electronic copy, but parents are going to look at the paper one. So that's why we print 25,000 copies that go out into business publications. We do a lot around helping parents understand that these are great careers. So our membership employs over 70,000 people. That's a lot of parents. So for example, just recently was Take Your Child to School Day. We then send our member companies a form, a flyer that they will send to their employees so they know how to talk to their kids about careers. So many times our companies are always saying, you know, how do we reach parents? How do we reach parents? And they don't realize that they have parents working for them. And so that's another way that we're trying to help the parent issue.
And besides the parent issues, what are some of the other biggest challenges that you're seeing in your market in recent years? And how are you adapting to these changes that are coming at pretty much lightning speed these days?
We just definitely don't have enough people living in Northeast Wisconsin for all the jobs. And really, that's throughout the United States. So if you don't have enough people, what are you going to do? One of those things is really Industry 4.0, investing in technology, productivity gains. And so our organization in 2019 did a study to understand where our companies were in that Industry 4.0 journey. And we found the 104 that took the survey that they weren't very far along. So then we created an Industry 4.0 task force to really bring practitioners together for shared learning. And when we did the survey again in 2021, we saw movement where more and more companies were further along in their journey. But what we also found was there's certain skills that every area in a manufacturing company need, and that's data analytics. There's a lot of data, but we're information poor. And so we have had over 500 people go through our data analytics training. Our 2021 study showed also that project management was a big skill that was needed in all areas of a manufacturing company. And in the period of 2 years, we've trained over 500 people in that. Then AI, the first time we offered that class last fall, we had 105 people enroll in it. The second time, 110 people. So in just 6 months period of time, we've trained over 200 employees on AI. So that's the key, I think, not the full solution, but one of the solutions is helping companies move along in their journey. But because of we have real data, our technical colleges said, hey, I see data analytics being an important skill. So they created a new associate degree program in data analytics because of the study results. So we really want to have real data so our colleges can make better decisions on what type of degree programs that they're offering.
Wow. So when it comes to these educational initiatives, how do you get started, or what are the steps when you reach out to educational institutions? And again, and I think about somebody who is thinking about doing something like this, but really doesn't know how to get started. So how do you do that to reach out to the educators?
Yeah. First is going and seeing if you can speak to the principal, tech ed teacher, counselor, just set up a time. I'd really want to learn more about how my company can help you. Instead of saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. Instead say, hey, I really want to be a better partner. I want to hear what your needs are. And at that meeting, just listen. And a lot of times we find that schools don't even know what they need. And they know that they need to have industry get more engaged with their school, but they don't know what that looks like either. So by just taking that first meeting and saying, I'm here more to listen than to talk, because that's going to spur up different topics and ideas and say, hey, what I want to do is come back and bring this back to my team so that way we can look at some ideas for your school. In my case, in terms of our lot of the work product that we've created, we have a task force, a K-12 task force, and a STEM task force. I have no committees because I've been on too many committees that sit around a table and talk about the problem, but never get to the solution. And sometimes it's going to take a long time to get to the solution, sometimes not. Employability skills, soft skills has been a hot topic for us for 18 years. We need kids to have more of those soft skills. We call them employability skills. And we've been working on lots of things. Some things didn't work that well. But then we had a teacher say, and actually it was a principal, and said, you know what, Anne, this has to come from industry. Our teachers do talk about this, but kids just, oh, it's just something else that teachers talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So last year we created a video called How to Be Successful in the Workplace, spotlighting 10 employability skills. We looked at our Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, their youth apprenticeship standards has an employability skills certificate. So we tied it to what is already being taught. And this video has 10 employers, each one on one of the 10 topics. We've had such a great response. Plus, we also had educator write the lesson plans on each one of those 10 topics. We've had thousands of students watch these videos. Little town in Clintonville, probably about 400, 500 students. Every single student had to watch this video because those soft skills, employability skills, are even important to the teachers because soft skills are needed in school too.
Yeah.
And that whole thing came about because K-12 and industry worked together and found a solution.
So what are those, and I don't know if you know the 10 right off the top of your head, but what are those soft skills that you are, the employability skills? I love that term. So much better than soft skills because there ain't nothing soft about them.
Exactly. Some of them are integrity, how to work independently, teamwork, communication skills, how to set goals, initiative, really key, critically important skills.
Yeah. And again, not taught.
Yeah. And on our website, all those videos, lesson plans, everything is available totally free that anyone anywhere can use. Our Get Real Math and Get Real Science, people can sign up to win $250 for their school. So I know that throughout the country, these videos are being used.
That's awesome. So go ahead.
Oh, and the proof is in the pudding. What we did was we measured how many people were going to the technical colleges and manufacturing degrees before we started as an organization, mm-hmm. and 10 years later. In machining, there were 150 people enrolled at the four tech colleges in machining. In fact, it was 153. 10 years later, it was 553.
Wow.
In welding, it was 193. 10 years later, 993.
Mm.
2005, no four-year engineering degrees. Now, hundreds of people enrolled. So by coming together, working together, really has made a huge difference.
And putting that pen to paper like you did to show the before and after, because with this being a process and not an event that's just going to happen overnight, hit the easy button and everything changes, being able to celebrate those little victories of going from 110 to 180 to 203, watching those numbers gradually go up every year and really seeing the impact. So what is your future vision for New Manufacturing Alliance. What are you seeing in the near future and maybe down the line?
We need to continue to just beat the drum that manufacturing is a great career. We can't rest on our laurels because if you just stay the same, you're going to go backwards. So this year we launched a new safety task force because we know safety is a huge issue for manufacturers. It's job one. And by having companies be safer, that old image of that's dangerous is going to go by the wayside. So we are continually to evolve. We are, just like I said before, started this AI training because we know AI is going to have a huge impact in all areas of manufacturing company. But again, it's people to people. And the more we work with our different stakeholders, K-12, higher education, as well as our local community, is going to make a difference. And so those are some of the things that we're working on.
Awesome. So as we get to the end of our time together today, which this time just flew by, what advice would you give to business leaders who are looking to engage more deeply with an industry alliance like yours?
I've been fortunate to be able to speak throughout the nation and even Europe on how to bring public-private partnerships together. And I say there's a few things that are our secret sauce. One, you have to have industry lead it. Okay, I only play a manufacturer on TV. I'm not a real one. And so you really need to have industry set the vision. They're passionate about their industry, but unfortunately, they have a day job. And so, secondly, you need to have some individual actually run the, let me say that again. You need to have somebody actually do the work. Manufacturers are very passionate, but they are unable to carry out a lot of the work product because they have their own jobs to run. So that's why having somebody who's impartial, I was that person. We have these great meetings, but who's going to do the work from the ideas generated? And then third, you just need to start small. Do one or two things really well. And then grow from there. We didn't start with all this stuff at first. And be sure to just do one or two things really well, and then that will grow and get people excited to do more.
Awesome. And if people did want to continue the conversation with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure, they can just email me, Ann, A-N-N dot France, F as in Frank, RANZ. At nwtc.edu.
Awesome. And I will also have that in the show notes. And it has been such a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
I'm Lisa Ryan, and this is the Manufacturers Network Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Manufacturers Network Podcast. Do me a favor and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues so we can grow this network and connect more fantastic folks just like you. You can either send your buddies to the website at manufacturers-network.com or share the Manufacturers Network podcast on your LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you and your industry friends hang out. The bigger and faster we grow the network, the stronger and deeper the community we'll all have. Thanks again, and I appreciate you.